All right, let's pray. Father, help me this evening. Lord, you've made these things clear to me. I really need your help to pass them on, make them clear to others. I pray that you'd minister our hearts tonight in Jesus' name and amen. So this morning we started in Hebrews 6, and we're not going to go over all that material again, just touch upon what we covered. The Bible says to people who are saved, and because they are saved, have a future home in heaven with the Lord, that in between the time we're saved and the time that we enter heaven, the Holy Spirit wants to bring us on to perfection. And we saw from the scripture that perfection is not a condition of being sinless. That will always lie just beyond the reach of mortal man upon the earth. And even if it did not, it's a separate topic altogether. But perfection, to be perfect, something is complete. It's entire. It's all that it could be. And we saw from the scripture this morning that the Lord doesn't want us to just be saved. He wants us to be all that we can be as a result of being saved. Jesus Christ is the great gift, and the gift of this great Lord Jesus Christ is eternal life. But as we read our Bible, the scripture speaks about God daily loading us with benefits. And the Lord really wants to encourage us make use of, to apply to our lives, to lay hold upon all of these gifts, not just cling to one or two of them and be satisfied to leave the rest untouched. In order to underscore the definition of perfection in the Bible and to reinforce the idea that we're not talking about being sinless, I want to show you that the Bible tells us in three different places about Jesus Christ being perfected. And when we touched on this in Hebrews chapter number 5, it caused some people to really rejoice who got it, and other people to be really concerned who didn't get it. So let me say this, and then we'll go to the Bible verses. Jesus Christ was the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. When God became man, when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, He, though He were God, had never been man. He had never been in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He had never lived under the yoke and the burden of the law. He had never personally suffered physical pain in a body. He had never had to wrestle with personal trials and temptations and struggles. And so there He is, a babe in a manger. He is God manifest in the flesh, but He's not all that a man could be. Here He is as a carpenter working in His father's carpentry business, but He's not all that a man could be. Here He is teaching and preaching and working miracles, but He's not all that a man could be. So when He has lived the full human experience, lived under in perfect obedience under the law, when He has tasted death for every man, when He has risen from the dead, when Jesus Christ, the man, goes back to His place in heaven, the Bible says He is perfected. He is everything a man can be. He's always been everything God could be. Now He's everything God could be and everything a man could be. He was never a sinner who got his sin taken away, but He was a man who became a better man, more of a man. And I know it sounds almost blasphemous to say that, but let me show you in your Bible. Come to Luke chapter 13. We'll start there tonight. Luke chapter number 13, and we'll read together these words spoken by the Lord Jesus. The Bible says in verse 31, Luke 13:31, The same day there came certain of the Pharisees, saying unto him, Get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. They're warning him. If you don't get out of Jerusalem, if you don't get away from this governmental power, they're going to put you to death. And he said unto them, Go ye and tell that fox, Behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. Now, if Jesus Christ is not sinless, his death upon the cross accomplishes nothing. He lives without sin. He is going to die without sin so he can be our sin bearer and our substitute. So he's not saying 3 days from now I'll be without sin. But he is saying 3 days from now, I will be perfected. I will have become everything you need me to be in order to be your example and your teacher and your comforter and your guide and your high priest. He's not going to have his sins taken away, but he's going to have a fuller and a more complete experience. Okay, so take a look here in Hebrews chapter 2. Let's go there. Hebrews, the second chapter. Jesus never sinned, so he was never made sinless, but he was perfected, made full, complete, entire. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, the Bible says, But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death. You say, well, I just think Jesus has always been what he is now, and he always will be what he always was. He had never been lower than angels. Right. He was made a little lower than the angels when he became a man. Right. For the suffering of death. He had never died. He'd witnessed death. He had comforted people in death. He had helped people get beyond death by his power. But now he's going to experience that crown of glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by him are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. See that? To make the camp of salvation perfect through sufferings, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. So here's the idea. If I said to an Old Testament prophet, you don't know what it's like to have to live under all these commandments, he could say, yeah, I'm under all these commandments. And then I could say to him, but you sin just like I do. And he say, yeah, I do. I can give you the commandments and I can give you the warnings and I can give you the promised blessings, but I really can't show you how to be totally, completely victorious in these matters. I can call upon you to be sanctified, but I myself not fully sanctified. I can call upon you to be holy, but I myself am not completely holy. Then down comes God the Son, the Word, Jesus Christ in a body of flesh. And when he gets to the end of his earthly life, he can say, I'm not only telling you, thus saith the Lord, this is what you're supposed to do, but I can walk you through it and show you how to do it because I have experienced every bit of that as a man. You say, well, you don't know how I feel when people betray me. You don't know how I feel when I suffer pain. You don't know how I feel when it seems like I pray to God and my prayers go unanswered and he's a thousand miles away. You could say that to me. I could say that to you. But when we looked up to God, we had a, not a case against God, but we had a legitimate complaint. You're expecting me to be perfect, and you really don't even know what you're asking. I'm not saying to be right to talk to God that way, but we all have. But now, when you lift up your eyes to the Lord in glory, You can't say to him, you've never been down here. You don't know what this is like. You've never experienced what I'm experiencing, because he has. So from birth to his death upon the cross, what was happening is not God, but the man, Christ Jesus, was being made perfect. So that he is completely, totally everything you, I, any other man, any other woman would ever need. Look in chapter 5, Hebrews chapter 5, and verse number 7. We're talking about Christ according to verse 5. So verse 7 says, who in the days of his flesh. So this is not Jesus the creator. This is not Jesus, the giver of scripture back in the Old Testament. This is Jesus having become a man in the days of his flesh, when he'd offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. Now, you picture in your mind, here is the great God, no man has seen, God the Father sitting upon his throne, God the Son in his own right hand. They're making the heavens and the earth and the sun and the moon and the stars and all the birds, the beasts, the fowls of the air. They're putting Adam in the garden, that beautiful garden of Eden, and they're overseeing the flood of Noah's day, and through all, not one time could you possibly, in reading the entire Old Testament, imagine, because it didn't happen, imagine the Son begging the Father with tears and pleading and crying, help me, I don't want to die. He'd never been there. Then down he comes, lives as a man, goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. And now every time you look to God and say, help me, my world is falling apart. Help me. I'm suffering. Help me. I'm being tempted and I don't want it to overcome me. Now you're talking to someone in glory who knows exactly what you're experiencing. So he wasn't made sinless, but look at verse 8. Though he were son, yet learned the obedience by the things he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Praise the Lord. Now, I hope all of you could say this. I can say tonight, and I'm not saying this to be critical. I'm saying this I gotta say two things. First thing, I'm gonna say, tell you, my wife is not sinless. But I can honestly say, for me, a saved man, and the life God has given me, and the ministry God has given me, and the weaknesses and the failures that God has knows there in my life, I have the perfect wife. You see the difference? My wife's not sinless, but she is everything I need her to be. Isn't that a blessing? Wouldn't it be great if you could say, you know, my parents, they're not sinless, but they're everything I need them to be. Now, the reason people can't find the pastor they're looking for, the church they're looking for, the friendships they're looking for, can't have the relationship they're looking for, is they get hung up on somebody's not sinless. Well, somebody can be sinful and be perfect for your situation. You'll never find a sinless pastor, but you could find a perfect pastor. You'll never find a sinless church, but you could find the perfect church. And when people say, I'm demanding sinless, well, you can't demand that, because no one can deliver on that. But you can hope for perfect. And you can look at your husband or your wife, your family members, your friends, and you say, you know, for all of our flaws, we're perfect for each other. And that's the idea with Jesus Christ. And I'm not saying he's sinful, But when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, not only do you have someone who can forgive your sins and take you to heaven when you die, but someone who is just perfect for your life. He's absolutely everything you'll need from here to glory. So praise the Lord for that. Now, let's talk about from our Bible, if we desire to go from being saved and muddling along to being saved and perfected, may I show you, and I say that politely, I'm going to show you anyway, but I'm just being polite to say, may I show you, I'm going to show you 9 things in the Bible that God says will take a saved person on to perfection. And that's what Hebrews 6 says, let us go on to perfection. So get Psalm 18 and Psalm 19 side by side, Psalm number 18 and Psalm number 19. And when you found those, we're going to get with them a verse from the New Testament, 1 John chapter 2. So 1, 2, and 3 are all really under the same heading, Psalm 18 and 1 John chapter 3. And let's read these verses together. Okay, Psalm 18 and verse number 30. Psalm 18 and verse 30 says this, as for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? So here's what I have. I have the word of the Lord for my buckler, my defense against all that would come against me and all that would harm me. And God's way, as set forth in God's word, is perfect. Amen. All right, so here I am. I trusted Jesus as my Savior on Saturday. I wake up on Sunday, the world hasn't changed, the devil hasn't changed, I've got a lifetime of bad thinking, I've got a lifetime of wrong emotions in my heart, I've got all kinds of habits and vices. Where do I start? Right here. Right here. It's in the book. God wrote a book of perfection. God wrote a book spelling out perfection. Now, when he says it's a buckler on all those that trust in Him, you might remember the story. If you don't remember it, maybe a brand new Christian, haven't read it yet. So there's this giant named Goliath. And David, the shepherd boy, is going to go out and fight against Goliath. And Saul says, why don't you try on my armor? And David said, this is no time for trying something that I don't know if it works or not. He said, I can't wear your armor. I haven't tried it. I haven't proven it. And so David goes out and fights that battle. I bring that up because you could say, well, I don't know about the Bible. I haven't tried it. That's fair enough. But unlike David going out to fight Goliath, you have the privilege of the experience of millions of people over the last 2,000 years who have tried this buckler. And they have proven it to be successful in defending you and protecting you from all the wiles of the devil and all the ways of the world. If there was a piece of armor sitting here and we had to go out and fight a physical battle and you say, anybody know if that works? And we would all say, like the people in the camp, we don't know if it works or not because none of us has ever gone out to fight against Goliath. But if you have a world full of spiritual enemies and I say to you, try the Bible, take the Bible, it works. And you said, I don't know, anybody ever tried that? A whole room full of people would say, amen, praise the Lord, I've tried it and it works. Thank God for that. So Psalm 19 says this. Psalm number 19, turn over just a page or so there.
Psalm 19 and verse number 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statute of the Lord is right, rejoicing the heart. The command of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. So my soul needs to be turned from darkness to light. My soul needs to be turned from unrighteousness to righteousness. My soul needs to be turned from hearing the voice of the world and the flesh and the devil to hearing the right ways of the Lord. What's going to do the job of converting my soul? A perfect scripture. Praise the Lord. The law of the Lord is perfect. And then at that New Testament verse, 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter number 2 and verse number 5, whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Praise the Lord. So tonight we sang, we had musicians accompanying. We'll stay after singing a little extra this evening. We'll have musicians accompanying. And the reason that we enjoy musical accompaniment is because some people decided, I want to learn to be a musician. Well, that's great. And I prayed about being a musician. That's great. But the only way you get music to come out of that inanimate object over there is you have to be taught to follow a set of rules. You can't just pretend that notes don't exist, and you can't just pretend that chords don't exist, and you can't play the thing backwards or upside down or any old way you want to. Somebody says, this is the way you strike the note. This is the way you form the chord. This is the way you follow the music. This is the way you play the song. And if someone does it right, it just seems automatic. It just seems like there's nothing to it. And people say, well, you know, I want to be a good Christian. Okay, great. And I prayed about it. Okay, great. You got to follow some rules. You got to follow some instructions. You can't just say things are right that God says are wrong, and you can't just say things are harmonious that are discordant, and you can't just say, well, I'm just going to wake up one morning and God's going to drop it on me. You got to practice. Right. And just as surely as someone could teach you to be a musician, if you would follow their instruction and go by what's written on the page, you could become a good Christian if you would follow the instructions and go by what's written on the page. So step number one in this matter of being perfected is having and obeying and following the word of the Lord. In fact, look at 2 Timothy, back toward the front of your Bible, just a little bit from 2 John. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and we'll start reading here at verse number 15. Not from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So here's what I believe. I believe these scriptures can teach your young children how to be saved. Praise the Lord. I believe these scriptures can teach these bus kids that come in here on a Sunday morning how to be saved. I believe these scriptures can teach boys and girls in our good news clubs in the schoolhouses how to be saved. I believe that with all my heart. Amen. Praise the Lord. And what you would have if a 9-year-old boy or a 10-year-old girl believed the gospel from the scriptures and trusted Christ as Savior, you would have a saved 9-year-old boy and a saved 10-year-old girl. Isn't that? Yep. Well, there's no trick to it. That's what you just read. Anybody else believe that? Amen. All right, now, if you look back in on that boy at 29. And he had no better understanding of living the Christian life than he did when he was 9 and called on Jesus. You would say, this is improper development. This should have turned out better than what it did. If that little girl of 10, if you met her again at age 40, and there had been no additional working of God in her life over those 30 years, you'd say, I don't even know if she's saved. She sure doesn't look like a Christian. She sure doesn't act like a Christian. Right? And so part of our problem in America is for the last 50, 60 years, most of these churches that do try to win people to Christ, the soul-winning churches, that's all they do. Is they win people to Christ and then say, and tell them how to go out and win people to Christ, and everybody just stays 9 and 10 years old for the rest of their life. That's right. I'm right about that. Now look back at verse 14. 2 Timothy 3:14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them from a child. So verse 15, you learned from the scriptures how to be saved. Verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So what is perfect? Truly, complete furnishing of your life. What is perfection? All the works in your life are good works. All possible good works. Now, how does that come about? Verse 16, all scripture. Okay, so watch what happens. I go out, I knock upon a door, this man opens the door, and I say, sir, may I show you just a few scriptures? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Would you agree to that? Yes, sir, I would. And you know, here's another one here in Romans. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Would you, I see what you're saying there. Now watch this. It says, Romans 10, 9 and 10, for whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is verse 13. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Do you believe that? Are you willing to do that? Oh, yeah, could it really be that simple? Yeah, look here in Ephesians 2. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And that man believes that and he trusts Jesus Christ as his Savior. You know what the Bible says? He's saved. Praise the Lord. Well, why did God give us all this if all you needed was four verses telling you how to get saved? So he's saved. He's born again. Praise the Lord. Now, what do? We start in on the all scripture that's going to instruct you and reprove you and correct you. So that you can be not just born again, but perfected. Amen. Perfection can't be the same thing as saved. Timothy got saved when he was a little boy. But he didn't get perfected until all the scriptures had their work in his life. Amen. Amen. So what do? We try to open the Bible, study the Bible, teach all the Bible, get together several times a week. Why? The same reason you train your children all week long. The same reason you want your children to take 5 and 6 and 7 different classes for 12 or 14 or 16 years. Why? Because you can get saved in a day. Perfection, that's going to take a while. What does it require? All scripture. All scripture. Now, proverb for doctrine. So people say, well, I'm saved, but I don't really want to learn all these doctrines. Well, then God can never give you everything he wants to give you. And people come to church for a while, and then the Bible preaches about something they don't like. It reproves them, and the Bible tells them how to get it right. And they say, I don't want to give that up. I don't want to start doing that. I don't want to change the way I'm living. And so it doesn't mean they're not saved. Hebrews 6. It just means they're not willing to go on to perfection. So I need all the Bible, you need all the Bible, and God gave it to us so that we could go on to perfection. Now, look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, if you keep in track, that's 4 of the 9 items we're going to touch upon. Ephesians chapter 4, this will be number 5. All right, so watch this in verse number 11. We're speaking about when Jesus Christ rose from the dead and then went back up to heaven. Look what he says in verse 11. He gave some apostles. Everybody's not an apostle, but some Christians, God gave them that. And some prophets, every Christian not a prophet, but God gave that to some. And some evangelists, every Christian not an evangelist, but there are Christian evangelists. And some pastors and teachers, everybody is not a pastor, not a teacher, but God gave that to some. Why? For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of ministry, for the edify of the body of Christ. So let's just stop there before we read any farther. In order for each of us to be perfected, we need Christians other than ourselves. That's what the Lord said. And it's very popular today for people to not go to church. It's very popular today for people to not sit under a pastor. It's very popular today for people to refuse to submit themselves to someone, an older, more mature Christian in the faith, to teach them. It's very popular, but the Lord said, you have determined I don't want to go on to perfection. Because the Lord said he gave people gifts, and the exercise of those gifts is for our benefit, and we can't go on to perfection without the ministry of these gifted persons in our lives. It's not somebody wanting to run your life. It's someone wanting to instruct you in the way that God can blessedly run your life. Now keep reading and watch our definition. Verse number 13. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. See that? I have Christ. Do you have the fullness? I have Christ. Do you measure up to Christ? I have Christ. Do you have everything that Christ can make you? That would be, if you had all of that working in your life, you would be, by Bible definition, a perfect man. So if I wanted to be, if I woke up tomorrow morning and said, you know, I really want to go on to perfection like the Bible says, I'm glad I'm saved. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. But I want to go on to perfection. What do I do? First thing I got to do is get my Bible. And the second thing I have to do is find someone who will preach to me from the Bible and teach me the Bible. Amen. And it doesn't mean they're more saved than somebody else. If you know how to work on automobiles, you are probably the most popular person in any church. Because you have a skill set that you have developed throughout the course of your lifetime, and people who recognize that skill set want their automobile to run properly all the time, every time, and so it's not a problem to them to come to you and say, I don't know what's wrong with my car. Can you help me repair my automobile? People don't have a problem with that. We live in Florida. I probably told you this before. In the Capitol, rotunda of the Capitol building in Washington, D.C., there are two statues representing great figures in each state in the United States. Every state gets the selected two people and put their statue there in the Capitol. One of the two men from Florida is the man who invented air conditioning. Because without him, you wouldn't be sitting in traffic on I-4 with all these people living here. Anyway, when your AC goes out, you don't say, nobody's going to tell me what to do. I only need anybody's help. You know what you do? You are glad to know somebody that's devoted their lives to learning how to fix air conditioners.
Amen.
And yet saved people sit in their habits and their vices and their unhappiness and their problems, mental, emotional, family, whatever the case might be, and somebody says, "Oh, you know, why don't you come back to church tonight? I don't need somebody telling me what to do, trying to ram all their religion down my throat." And it's amazing how in almost every other field of life, we are happy to take help from someone who's devoted their life to learning a topic and passing on what they've learned to help us. But when it comes to the Bible, everybody's an expert. No need you to tell me how to live. Well, apparently, a little help would go a long way. Anyway, there it is. That's not an appeal. That's just Bible to me. It's just common sense. All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And look here at verse number 9. Same idea. Start at verse 8. What thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. You want to help you go into perfection? Spending as much time as you can with people that are farther down the road than you are. If I was a high school baseball player and I had the opportunity to take batting lessons from a major leaguer or hang out with little leaguers so they could be impressed with how far I can hit the ball, it would not be advantageous for me to hang out with the little leaguers, though it made me feel better about my ability to play baseball. You know why some people who are a total disaster think they're a good Christian? They hang out with little leaguers. Instead of getting in a good Bible preaching church where people are dedicated to Christ, they hang out with a bunch of carnal losers on social media. I'm the best Christian I know. Yeah, but look who you picked to hang out with. The way to go on to perfection is spend time with better Christians than you are. Spend time with people that are more dedicated than you are. If the problem is a family issue, spend time with people with good families. If the problem is you're timid and afraid to speak up for the Lord, spend time with people that are witnessing to others. The idea in almost every area of life, again, is if I want to be better, I want to spend time with people who are better than I am. So these young people, we like to have them playing, you'll hear them on the piano before the church services, and they're getting better. They're getting better week by week by week because they're not taking lessons from kids who only know chopsticks. I remember my daughter's taking piano lessons, and I thought, if I hear that entertainer song one more time, I'm going to jump through a window. Anyway. You want to get better? Don't take piano lessons from someone who's not as good as you are. You want to get better? Take lessons from someone who's better than you are. And if you're really, really good, spend some money and take lessons from someone who is fantastic. Amen. You know, Paul said, you guys got a good church going down there. But I'm going to come spend some time with you. and we're going to make it even better. That's not Paul being egotistical. That is a realistic view of life. If I want to be a better Christian, I need to spend more time with people who are better Christians than I am. Praise the Lord. Now, you don't have to come to every service. You don't. But if we're having a church service where people are trying to get closer to Jesus and you skip it to watch something on TV or look up stuff on the internet, you're just saying, I don't want to get better. I'm as good as I want to be. And the Lord doesn't want us to be as good as we've determined to be. He wants us to be as good as He can make us. All right, James chapter 2. This is number 7. James chapter 2. Hebrews and then James, the second chapter. James chapter 2, verse 22, speaking about Abraham. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was his faith made perfect. How about that? So let's take we've used the baseball, we've used the piano. Every few weeks, it's a blessing to have all these young people. Every few weeks, I see someone drive into the parking lot that I have never seen driving before. And they got a big smile on their face, and one parent or another is clawing at the window with let me out, let me out. Now, before you get that driver's license, I'm sure they still have the driver's manual. And you have to learn the rules of the road in order to get that license. And in order to get certified or get the license, if you're a citizen, you have to pass a certain test that says you've learned these rules of the road. Now, if you want to get an 18-wheeler and drive it all over the country, just go out to California and get your license. But anyway, we're talking about how it's supposed to work. So here's what happens. None of these kids come in here and say, look, I passed the test. I got my license. And for the rest of my life, I'm calling a cab. You know what they all want to do? Drive. Back roads, main roads, interstate. 30 miles an hour. 50 miles an hour, 70 miles an hour, 85 miles an hour. It's great to be a licensed driver, but it's even better to drive. I'm saved. Want to go to prayer meeting? No, that's okay. I'm saved. Want to go to Bible study? No, I'm good. I'm saved. Hey, you want to go out witnessing with us? I don't think so. You sure you're saved? Yeah, look, I got my license. You want to take you on to perfection? Doing it. So I don't know what to do. I read the Bible and God shows me what to do. I'm not really clear on how to do it, so I get under good teaching and I learn from teaching and I watch and I observe from example and I say, oh, that's how you do it. But then, if I want to get to perfection, I actually step up and begin to participate. Good. I have to do it. So this goes way back. This is way, 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 way back. I was starting a church up in North Carolina. And I led a man to the Lord, this older man, my age. Well, not my age then, my age now, older man. And I was out every day going out knocking on doors and trying to tell people about Jesus. And one Sunday he said, I really don't want to go with you, but I know I should. And I've made up my mind, next time you go, I want to go. And so we set a time. And I picked him up in my car, and we went and we started on this neighborhood, and we knocked on the first door and the second door and the third door. And after about 30 minutes or so, he said, let me try the next door. Let me try the next door. This is great. This is really great. He got saved, and he's learning the Bible, and he's wanting to serve God, and now he's jumping in. This is wonderful. And so we knocked on that door, and this young lady, about 30, came to the door, and she said, good morning, can I help you? And he said, I have a message for you from God. And she shut the door, and he hung his head, and we walked down the driveway, and he said, take me home. Take me home. And I had one of those, you know, down memory lane flashbacks from just 3 years earlier, when the first time I had tried to witness, and it was a disaster. And I said to the man that I was with, take me home. And in the wee hours of that morning, I called the man that I was with, and I said, I want to go again. I want to learn to do this right. He picked up the call in the first ring because he knew I would call. And after that experience with that man, I prayed and said, Lord, would you do for him what you did for me? It wasn't that rapid, but the next church service was our midweek service. And he came up and he said, if you'll let me go, I want to go again. I want to learn to do this right. Now, you know what? He was saved. And he didn't sin. Why, he was going farther than most Christians have ever gone. He went once and he knocked on a door and he he put the fear of God into one housewife. That's something. But you know what he wanted? He wanted to go farther. And the way that you go on to perfection is not to say, I don't want to be any better. It's to say, let me do this. Let me do it. Let me do it till I get it right. You know what? Boys go from little league to make the high school team, and some from the high school team to make the college team. The ones that don't quit when they strike out. They just get back in the batter's box, keep swinging at it. You know who learns to play the piano so they can pick out any hymn and they just jump right in and play? The ones that hit the wrong notes. The ones that messed up the chord and said, let me try it again. Let me try it again. We're not talking about being sinless. We're not talking about living without error. We're talking about trying and trying and letting God teach you as you serve Him to be everything you can be for the Lord. Praise God. Okay, two more verses. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Verse number 12. Start at 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. For His love is perfected in us. Perfection. How does perfection come about? You love other people.
Love, that charismatic, mushy Joel Osteen stuff.
Yeah, no, that Jesus Christ stuff. Amen. That God so loved the world stuff. That God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know why we love Jesus? Because He loved us. And as He begins to take control of our lives, we begin to love other people. You can be saved and not love your wife. You can be saved and not love your husband. So don't, I'm saved. Well, yeah, you can both say, tell the judge you're saved while you split the assets. But there's something better than that. It's Jesus Christ teaching you how to love one another. I don't think it's probably been a long time since a lost person split a church. You'd have to be saved to gain enough confidence to take half a congregation out the door with you, or to get a preacher kicked out. Wouldn't it be better to be saved and know the Bible and love people? And so I'm glad the Lord didn't put that right up front first, because it takes a while to get. I mean, you can learn And you can do faster than you can love, but you want to go on to perfection? Can't be all about you. Can't be living in bitterness and unforgiveness and resentment and grudges and all of that. Let God take you past every bit of that. You're talking about being perfected. I'm not saying Jesus ever sinned. But one of the 12 disciples got up from a supper Jesus had provided for them and went out in the night and sold him out, betrayed him, and brought the men that would crucify him to find Jesus in the garden where he prayed. And as Judas came walking up, Jesus said, "Friend, wherefore art thou come?" "Oh, you just don't know how that man treated me." You're not perfect yet. "You just don't know what those people did to me." You're not perfect yet. You couldn't be done any worse by a friend than Judas did to Jesus. And Jesus said, "You're still my friend. Still my friend." That's perfection. That's really getting life right up there on the top rung. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. One more here. So I need the Bible. I need Bible teaching. I need Bible examples. I need to put into practice what I learn. I need to love others. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1. "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Now this real interesting verse here, and I'm finishing up with this one. There is filthiness of the flesh that saved people have to deal with. There is cleansing that saved people require. There's some things in our spirits. There's some things we do with our hands and look at with our eyes and hear with our ears. You know what the verse said? God's not going to forcibly remove those things from our lives. Let us cleanse ourselves. If you'll stay in the Bible, read it every day, stay in church, be there faithfully, God will show you some attitudes that aren't right. And He will expect you to give them up. He will show you some things that you're doing or looking at or listening to or places you're going that aren't appropriate. And He will expect you to stop doing those things and stop going to those places. Salvation is 100% the work of God. Perfection, you're going to have to pitch in a little bit. You know what the coach says to that ball player? "Now I want you to go home and practice." You know what the teacher says to that music student? "Now I want you to go home and practice." "Well, can't you just play the song for me at the recital?" No. No. You got to go home and practice. You want to be a good Christian? Some things you're going to have to give up. Some things you're going to have to let go of. "Well, I just think if God wants me to stop, He'll take it away." He didn't say that. He said, "You want to go into perfection? You're going to have to clean up." And that's okay. That's okay. He's worth it. He's worthy. He's deserving. Amen. All right. So I want to be saved. I am saved. I'm glad I'm saved. I want all of you to be saved. Anybody here saved tonight? All right. Now that you're saved, we want you to go on and be everything that God can make a saved person. Full blessing in their life. Okay. Lord, thank you for